A gospel reading is taken from the inspired record of St. Matthew, from that portion of the gospel that we commonly know as our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, reading from the opening verse. By the standards of this world, we tend to think that it is the great and the accomplished who are most worthy of honor and blessing. But Jesus shows us that in God's eyes, the opposite is often true. Our greatness lies not in what we achieve, but what God graciously gives us. We read from Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up onto a mountain. When he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them. He said these things: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, because they will be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, because they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, because they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. In fact, that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear again that gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I'll reread verse 3 at this time. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Those are the words that encircle that emblem, the logo that we have chosen for our 175th anniversary. Those are the words from Hebrews chapter 13, which bring us such great comfort and encouragement every day of our lives, to know that Jesus doesn't change. But what exactly does that mean? We have a great illustration of it in his Sermon on the Mount in our text for today. These are the opening words of this sermon, what we understand as the first sermon recorded in Scripture that's given to us. And what's the message of it? It's a theology of the cross. It's the same message that he preached at the end of his ministry as he urged his disciples to deny themselves, to take up their crosses, and to follow him. Those ones are blessed. Here toward the beginning of his ministry, he had that same message. He maintained that exact same theology, a theology of the cross. Blessed are those who bear crosses. Blessed are those who suffer, who hunger, who mourn, who are meek. Blessed are these people as they carry a cross in this world. And why? Because Jesus, their Savior, would carry the cross for their sins to bring them salvation. You hear people talk all the time about evolving. Politicians evolve in their thinking. Individuals evolve in their ideas. They change over time. And evolving is shown as something good. Evolution is progress, is growth and advancement. But not our Savior Jesus. He never evolved. He never progressed or grew or changed to fit the whims of people. He preached that same theology of the cross at the beginning and at the end of his ministry and everything in between, and he still speaks it to us 2,000 years later today. which is why this Sermon on the Mount, this first sermon recorded by our Savior Jesus, is such a blessed sermon for us to hear. Our Savior Jesus' word to us, His message, His communication to us, His grace. He still teaches that same theology. God does not change. He does not evolve. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. So that's what we consider as we ponder these words of our Savior Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' way of the cross never changes. So that the believer is always blessed, and the poor Christian always has the riches of heaven. This was certainly not the first sermon that Jesus ever preached in His ministry. Most believing scholars place the events of this Sermon on the Mount about a year and a half into Jesus' ministry, of a 3.5-year ministry. That's pretty far along in His work. It was early on in His work, but it surely wasn't the first message that He preached. However, Matthew's record of His life and ministry of Jesus, this is the first of 5 major discourses that Jesus gave. So yes, we can say that this is early Jesus. But what's fascinating about this early Jesus to note is that His message did not change. He didn't revise His theology throughout His ministry for the sake of popularity or popular opinion. In fact, just the opposite is the case. This discourse was given at a time in His ministry, a season called the season of popularity, when people were flocking to hear what He had to say, probably because they were excited also to see what He could do for them. But later on, a later phase of His ministry, his season of rejection, falling out of popular opinion, many people turned away from Him. Even then, He didn't change that message. In fact, He spoke of the same cross, the same trials, the same poverty and suffering and persecution. He knew that it would be that way. He knew that it would be that way for Himself, just as much as it was for His followers. So He said, "The Son of Man has no place to lay His head." Such was the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah's own words. He was despised and rejected by men. And that's why He warned those He sent out two by two of that same trouble to come when He said, "You will be hated by all people because of My name." Exactly what Jesus said in this Sermon on the Mount never changed. Yes, Jesus' way of the cross never changed, not for Himself, and so also not for His followers. But look at this consistent word of God to us. It is a word of comfort. Comfort for His believers in the face of opposition, in the face of persecution. The very first word of Jesus in His sermon is the word blessed. What a blessed encouragement this sermon is for those followers, for those believers then. You hear this word of the despised Savior again and again. He encourages His followers who carry that cross after Him that they are blessed. A refrain repeated again and again at the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount. 9 times He expresses it. The same blessing from our Savior God is spoken in 9 different ways, really. The believer is always blessed. The trouble is, we don't feel like it. We feel foolish. We feel weak. We feel lowly, and we feel despised. That's exactly what Paul's words to the Corinthian believers were too. What a temptation it was for them then to want to be popular in that Greek culture. To want to be wise and philosophical, to want to be powerful and influential, like those around them in the world were. But they weren't. They were criticized. They were constantly considered foolish and weak. And that's exactly the same message that Jesus speaks still to us today. We are blessed even though we feel foolish, weak, lowly, and despised. Oh, but what a temptation there is for us to pursue that popularity of the world. We would love to be considered wise in the eyes of the world. We would love to be thought of as strong in this life. We want to be high and mighty. We want to be loved. What a cross it is for us to bear. The cross of being foolish and weak and lowly and despised. What a cross. But that cross never changes. Not for our Savior Jesus. And so also not for his believers who are saved by that cross. And yet that sermon that came from Jesus' lips is exactly the opposite of the sermons that you will hear constantly preached from the mouths of the world. No. Jesus says, you are blessed in the cross. You are blessed in your weakness, in your meekness, in your foolishness, in your persecution, and that will never change. Even you can be happy and blessed because you know that you have a Savior, Jesus. Friends, don't trade your cross in. Don't trade your Savior's cross in for the wisdom of the world. Don't trade the blessing that comes from your Savior in his sacrifice for your sins for the accolades of the world. Don't trade your being wise for salvation in that foolish message of the cross for that worldly wisdom and honor. Those things pass away. But you have a blessing from Jesus Christ, our Savior, whose way of the cross never changes for him or for you, so that the believer is always blessed. Look at how Jesus maintained that consistent message throughout his ministry, this message of the cross. It's that message that he preached here in his Sermon on the Mount, even when he was popular. It was that very message, that way of the cross to his believers, that in fact turned many followers away when he spoke of people eating his flesh and drinking his blood. It was the same message on the way to Jerusalem that he spoke to Peter that led Peter to say, "No, Lord, not that cross," to which Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Yes, the way of the cross was his consistent way, whether it was opposed by the world or opposed by Satan or even opposed by the sinful flesh of his own followers. It was the way of the cross that led him to his death. His death for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Yes, the poverty of his sacrifice gave us the riches of heaven. What a foolishness that is. That message of the cross. He gave up everything. He gave up all the wealth and the blessings of heaven for you so that you could be blessed, so that you could be rich. Paul, the apostle, puts it this way in that famous 2 Corinthians passage when he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Yes, that is Jesus' constant cross. And how rich you are. So Jesus spoke the truth, even at the start of his ministry, here in his Sermon on the Mount, when he said the exact same thing that the Apostle Paul learned to preach to. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Yes, each of these beatitudes, these blessings, express the same condition of the poor Christian. It isn't talking about not having enough money. The poverty is not a reference to financial need or gain. The poverty is a recognition of the condition of the soul. The spiritual poverty. It's to despair in oneself, to be impoverished and empty and hopeless in self. It's to recognize that on our own, we are spiritually dead. We are lost in sin. We are condemned to eternal death in hell. That is the poverty that the poor Christian has. A recognition of his own spiritual condition of death. Of course, our flesh doesn't want to accept it. We don't want to have to admit it, to acknowledge that we are spiritually poor. Our sinful, impoverished flesh cries out, "But I'm rich, but I'm healthy, but I'm well." Recognize this, dear Christian. See it. Acknowledge the spiritual poverty that is yourself, that you can truly rejoice and be blessed in this cross of Christ, so that you can come to the table to receive that blessed meal from our Savior. You are rich in His righteousness that He grants to you. As you hunger and thirst in your own spiritual poverty, you hunger and thirst for righteousness. You are filled in Christ. Yes, such a poor Christian has a need, a craving, a longing in life. It's described as that hunger and thirst for righteousness. We crave it. We need it. We recognize how desperately starving for righteousness we are, how truly poor we are in our sinfulness, fallen far short of the glory that God demands. But that poor Christian, that one, is blessed. And oh, how blessed. Why? Because the poor Christian is filled up to the fullest with the perfect, with the complete, with the full righteousness of that Savior Jesus Christ. He was holy for us. And He gives His holiness to us as a gift. And what a rich gift that is. Because look what we inherit because of it. Look at what we receive as a gift. We are heirs. We are inheritors of the kingdom of heaven. Twice in the Beatitudes, Jesus speaks of that wealth. Two times Jesus mentions the richness of heaven, the kingdom. All of the kingdom belongs to the poor Christian, and all the earth as his inheritance too. In Christ. What wealth in Christ. What riches. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. What a treasure. What a wealth. What riches are ours through faith in Jesus Christ. And that message never changed in Jesus' ministry. In fact, long before His ministry began, that was the prediction of Jesus, the Savior. In the Song of Mary that we rejoiced in and celebrated just a few weeks back as we celebrated the birth of Jesus at Christmas, this was the song that Mary sang about Him. He has looked with favor on the humble state of His servant. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. But the rich He has sent away empty. And even long before Jesus' own conception and birth, predicted by the prophets of old, like Zephaniah in our Old Testament reading, the same message about this Savior Jesus: "Then I will remove the proud boasters from among you. And you will never again be arrogant on my holy hill, but I will leave among you the people who are humble and weak. They will seek refuge in the name of the Lord." Yes, this poverty of self leads to the riches of the Lord's deliverance, the Lord's salvation, the wealth of owning His kingdom in heaven. Oh, how blessed you are. Do you want that wealth? Do you seek those riches? Do you hunger and thirst for that righteousness? It is yours in Jesus, whose way of the cross never changed, who saved us by His cross. And that way of salvation was such when He began His ministry too. It was the way of salvation for those in the Old Testament who longed for such a Messiah, such a Savior. It was that way of salvation when Jesus carried that physical cross to die for your sins. And it's that way of salvation that is still today. As we rejoice, as we are glad in Jesus, His resurrection, which has given us that eternal reward of heaven, may we always rejoice in that way of the cross as we see our great blessing, the riches of heaven,
Amen.
And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.